I now call to order the regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals. Notice to the public, the time, date, place, and the agenda for this meeting was published on February 2nd, 2016, in the Aiken Standard as a legal notice. Notice to contiguous property owners were mailed. Signs were posted on the properties by February 3rd, 2016. Notice of this meeting was sent to the city clerk and to the city web page to be posted on the Finance and Administration Building Notice Board and the Municipal Building Notice Board by February 19th, 2016. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to all interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information that's according to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. Any person that wishes to have a conversation with the board, we ask that you please use the podium directly in front of the board. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversations with the board can be properly recorded. Anyone that wish to have a copy of tonight's proceedings, you may contact the planning department. Please state your name and your address. To the board, the first item on the agenda, we have our meeting schedule for 2016. Are there any corrections or additions? The chair would entertain a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I recommend that we approve the minutes of November 24th, 2015.
Meeting schedules. The meeting schedules.
No. Oh, I thought that was first. Okay, minutes. Okay, I move that we do. I've already checked them out, and they look great. Thank you. My mind. Moving on.
Second.
But second. Okay. The meeting schedule for 2016 is approved.
Now.
Since we have not met in a couple of months, we have the meeting minutes from the November meeting. The chair would entertain motions if there's any corrections or additions.
Okay. Now I move that we approve the meetings of November 24th, 2015.
I'll second the motion with one correction, Mr. Chair. Page 3, fifth paragraph.
She's got one.
Third sentence, the word should be based, not base.
That's already been taken care of.
Has it? Yes, okay, it thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other corrections? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. Since this is the first meeting, as the first item of new business, we have the election of officers. The chair, the floor is now open for the election of the chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Pat.
I cannot picture going forward without, other than the capital leadership of our current chairman. I'd like to nominate Larry Oakley for another term as chairman.
Second.
Are there any other nominations?
You hope.
Seeing here and none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion carried unanimously. The floor is now open for the election of vice chair.
Mr. Chair, I would nominate is Judy Turner. She has so aptly served in the past for many years.
Thank you.
And I think she's done an outstanding job. And so we'll just reward you with more work. Okay.
I second that.
John second. Any other nominations? Seeing here and none. Those in favor of the motion, the nomination, raise your right hand.
Do I raise my hand?
Yes. The motion is carried unanimously. The floor is now open for the election of secretary.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that I nominate Mike Jordan as temporary interim planning director to serve until a final choice has been made.
Second.
Bud second. Any other nominations? The nomination is closed. Those in favor of Mike Jordan being the interim, the motion is carried unanimously.
Thank you.
Continuing new business, I call your attention to application 16-92004. That's a request for a special exception to allow two horses at 607 Collington Avenue Southeast and 339 Horry Street Southeast in their zone RS-15. I might take a chair prerogative, and we are going to hear application 16-93007. That's a variance request to allow horses to be stabled and otherwise kept in the area on the same premises. That's at 607 Collington Avenue. However, we will require separate motions, but the discussion will be pertaining to both applications. Both applications will require separate motions to the city. Has this been properly posted?
Yes, sir, it has.
Were there any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
With the circumstances the way they are with Tommy Paradise leaving, I've not had the opportunity to talk with anybody about this application.
Other than
what's in the application package.
Right. Are you prepared to give us a briefing about the application?
No, sir.
No. All right, so the board has read the staff packages. We'll go into any questions to the city.
I have one question to the city that you might be able to answer. The lot on Horry Street is written in the application as 339. My observations was that's also the address of another property just south of there, between there and the corner on Colleton. So I'm a little confused which is 339.
Sir, just a minute. I may call you to the way that this meeting is conducted.
I just didn't want to get involved in any of this because it's not my area.
I guess we have an indication that 339 is not the correct address for the lot on Horry that's part of this application.
Right. The staff report needs to be...
Okay, we'll have to clarify that then.
I did have conversation with some staff in the planning, and it's my understanding the GIS is incorrect with an address that the right property has been posted for this application, but there is, in our GIS, there's an incorrect address.
Okay, and we don't know what the correct address is.
No, sir.
Maybe the applicant will know. But it is a separate address. It is a separate lot.
We can defer that question to the applicant.
Okay, because...
And I'm not positive.
Okay, that was part of my confusion because it's also indicated that the plan is to subdivide it.
Yes, sir.
Which confused me that it already have a separate address if it's...
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions to the city? Thanks, Mike. Representative for the Lauren and Petrie Bososa, the representative.
Afternoon. My name is Carl McMillan. I'm the registered agent for the owners of 607 Colleton. I'm not a lawyer. I am a friend of theirs. I also am an Aiken resident and an Aiken business owner. I have a prepared statement, but before I go into that, just to clarify the ORI address, the GIS mapping did have two tax map numbers on that parcel. Mr. Paradise found a plat where it had been combined, so it would need to be re-subdivided. So at this point, I'm not sure there is a street address. There is some confusion there. But this application would have the Ori Street lot excluded from this, and the reason for that was, since horses had never been involved with that, that would have added another variance request. So that's why it was modified, and we came back to this. We extended it and modified our application. So
there is a separate tax number for that lot currently?
There is, but it's my understanding that that's an error with the county, because there is a plat that has them as one parcel. But in the conclusion, in the notes, obviously that the platting would have to be redone, and that lot would be a separate parcel that's not part of the variance action that we're seeking this evening. But it would also not be involved in the paddocks or any of the things that would be associated with the equestrian use that we're requesting.
Okay, if necessary, we'll have to find some other way of identifying it.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay.
So, in terms of the second application, are you not considering that this evening, or are you going to wait until you modify and combine the lots?
Well, it's all the combination of the. We don't need a variance to subdivide the property. So I'm just saying that would have been a third request if we had included that property in, because it never had horses involved.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Continue on your embellishment.
I'm here tonight to help preserve one of Aiken's original winter colony estates and support the goals of the comprehensive land use plan of the city of Aiken. Rosewall, which is the name of the winter colony estate at 607 Colleton, was built in 1892 and flourished through the golden era of Aiken winter colonies. The 1.1 acre property with the 6-stall barn in close proximity to Hitchcock Woods thrived through the early mid-19th century with horses. Unlike many requests presented to the planning board in relation to stabling, this request is not to build a new structure in the historic district, but to restore an existing structure to its original use. I understand there are both proponents and opponents of the variance here tonight. I've read through the staff comments as well as the letters from neighboring property owners. I'd like to address the legitimate concerns of both. What I won't comment on is the number of immaterial topics brought up in these letters, including the owner's marital status, the number of homes they own, and how much time they plan to spend in Aiken. Because of stable marital status and permanent residency were prerequisites for living here, Aiken would not be a very big town. I would, however, like to quickly address the disapproving comments neighbors have made regarding recent renovations to the property. I'd like to make it clear that all work to date has been permitted and approved by the appropriate city departments. So that leads us to the issue at hand, which is the impact of allowing two horses at Rosewall. With its acreage and a barn that is still in pristine condition to this day, this is a logical path for the homeowner that this estate to take with this estate. As stated, the previous owner of the property sought variances to return horses to Rosewall in the mid-80s, but were denied. It is important to note, however, that in the 1980s, the comprehensive land plan was not in place, nor the Old Lake and Master Plan that includes zoning ordinance for the care and maintenance of horses within the city limits. Two of the goals of the comprehensive plan, which I'll quote, is to encourage preservation and rehabilitation of homes and buildings that contribute to the character of the area, and to preserve older buildings when possible. With the comprehensive land plan and Old Aiken Master Plan now in place, the staff acknowledges in their notes in the application that, and I quote, if horses are maintained in accordance with the zoning ordinance, impact to the adjacent property may not be affected. Staff did ask for additional information on manure removal and trailer storage. The existing ingress and egress on Sumter and Colleton allow sufficient room for trailers and manure wagons to be stored inside the gates of the property, thus alleviating any concerns regarding traffic flow and visibility from Colleton and Sumter. Manure removal and the two small paddocks that would need to be constructed would fall under the existing guidelines of the zoning ordinance regarding care and maintenance of horses in the city. As far as the neighbors concerned, directly relating to allowing two horses on the property, the majority boil down to odor, noise, and nuisance, in so many words. Again, as noted in the staff comments in the memorandum, if the horses are maintained in accordance with the zoning ordinances, impact to the adjacent property owners may not be affected. Given that the zoning ordinance is in place, these issues are a moot point. The other primary concern from the neighbors is the road use. From this location, horses would be mainly transported via trailer. When not being transported by trailer, as is the case with the existing barns listed in Exhibit C, which you have in your package, which shows the other properties along Colleton that have existing barns today, these people that have the horses there can easily navigate now down the roads and the green spaces to the equestrian path where South Boundary and Marion meet, as that extension is for horses only and it ties into the horse district. It has been used for many years by the people that have horses on that side of South Boundary to get to Hitchcock Woods and also to the polo fields and the dirt roads along Grace Avenue and Two Notch. Furthermore, in accordance with Section 3.2.21(c)(5) of the zoning ordinance, horses must be stabled and otherwise kept in areas on the premises that are no closer to the dwelling, building, accessory buildings, and recreational structures on adjoining lots than they are to the dwelling on the premise. That is the reason for the variance request this evening. Given these parameters, there is only one adjacent property that stands to be affected by the actual variance request, and that is 334 Strumpter Street. No other property in the vicinity of 607 Colleton would be affected if the horses are maintained in accordance with the zoning ordinance, per the staff comments earlier. Photos have been provided by the daughter of the owner of 334 Sumter Street, which are a bit misleading, so I'd like to clarify a few points. The apartment, which she claims to be affected by the noise of the horses, as their apartment is 2 feet from the edge of the barn structure, is actually the tack room and the apartment. That's what it adjoins. The actual stables themselves, the six stalls, back up to the outdoor seating area, which is a pavilion that is also in your packet there with pictures if you need to take a look. But just to clarify, there's not rattling buckets 2 foot outside the door of the residential unit. It is further back in an area that's just a patio. The owner's daughter has also provided photos of 248 Marion Street, which is one of the other equestrian properties on the corner of Marion and Colleton, which coexist with a barn on the property line in proximity to the neighbor's property. The photos that she took were the backside of the property. I have with me, and I'll pass these up to you if that's okay. I've taken a couple of photos that actually put the barn in context to the adjoining property. I believe the owners of the Marion Street property are here tonight. I'm going to pass these up to you. Also in here is petition signed by 70 Aiken residents, the majority of whom live in the historic district, are in the horse district, who are in support of this application. With Mr. Paradise being gone, I didn't even get this package until Friday afternoon. We didn't have time to get our stuff submitted, but they have their names, addresses, telephone numbers, and then also the pictures here
as
well.
Will you pass those on to Mr. Jordan, and then you have to mark them as an exhibit?
And I also have attached a copy of my notes here as well.
Do we have questions from the board to Mr. McCormick?
I have several questions, Mr. Chairman.
I'm almost finished, and then I can take the questions. There's one other clarification that I'd like to make on the application and the conclusion. And this is something that I have never really seen, that they've requested that the variance not passed with the property, that the variance is only good for the present owners. The present owners are willing and encouraged to place deed restrictions and our conservation easements on this property to if the horse use is allowed, so that it can protect the integrity of the stable and ensure that at no point in the future would this 1.1 acre property be subdivided if the equestrian variance is exercised. So nobody had ever said anything to me about this, and I saw the conclusions on Friday. Did not have a chance to get in touch with Mr. Paradise. I guess he's no longer with you. So we would certainly like to clarify that not only would we want this variance to pass with the property, they would also go one step further in putting a deed restriction in place that the property could not be subdivided any further as long as they could keep the horses there on that property. So that's the only in the application and the comments, I believe I've addressed all the comments that staff had noted. If not, I'd certainly be happy to now, and would be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. McCormick.
McMillan. McMillan.
McMillan, I'm yes. Sorry. In your opening statements, let me give one major correction.
Mm-hmm.
We are hearing a special exception for the horses. The variance is on the distance from the structures to the neighboring property and the property lines.
Thank you for staying corrected. And as I said, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm just trying to get the facts out for what we're trying to do here. So thanks for your correction.
Pat.
Yeah, and also just to comment on your last point, it's not unusual for us where we grant a variance or a special exception for it not to be part to run with the land. In other words, ad infinitum, that we limit it to the presence and ownership of the existing applicant. It's not an unusual thing, especially since we might be approving it for the applicant's specific request as far as use. So I just mentioned that to you.
Well, I guess to clarify on our behalf, if they went forward to do that, the deed restriction and conservation easement has some tax consequence to them, so there is some importance to having it pass with title. So that's just one of the clarifications, and obviously that's at your discretion, but that's what we would be looking for.
Well, that's entirely beyond our consideration.
Well, you can say it can pass with it.
I hope what we're not saying is, gosh, this place won't be subdivided if you approve our variance and special application, but it might be subdivided if you don't approve.
Well, I mean, just to be very clear and very honest, it very well could, because obviously if the stable cannot be used to house horses, it has to be converted to some use that it can be used for. So I don't know the plans or what they would want to do in the future with it, but obviously right now, putting it under a conservation easement as a historic property is their intent, and that's why we would ask to have the variance passed with the property, or at least the property would have the deed restriction placed on it that the horses would remain and it would stay intact. So I would ask that the board I'm not sure whether it's reconsider or take into account that we are in disagreement with the staff conclusion.
Well, let me just make this clear. It's not a consideration that we would appreciate having to make, that the owners might do something else with the land if we don't approve their application. Let me proceed on with some questions I have. The intention is to subdivide the Horry property, let's just call it the Horry property, do you mind?
Yes, sir.
Okay, whether or not this application is approved or not.
That's correct, because if you look at the map, it really has no flow or form with the other property.
Okay, another question just to clarify what you said. We are responding to the letters that were received, the changes in the gates, walls, and other things that the letters comment on, were all approved by planning and the design review board?
Yes, sir.
That's what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. One other point of comment. Your emphasis on the ordinance and the fact that this is all consistent with the ordinance. The ordinance says that this property is RS 15. RS properties in these entire blocks, except for across the street up by Marion. There is no horse use by right. Horse use and properties that are greater than 1 acre can only be approved by special exception at the discretion of this board. And it's only where we're fully convinced that it meets the criteria. So your emphasis that this is all consistent with the ordinance is not exactly correct.
Well, it's consistent with the pieces and part I picked out of it. So
it
obviously we all
have...
And I'm here to make it as positive as I can. So I certainly understand that.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions from the board?
Yeah, I do. Mr. McMillan, can we get a map of the plot up by chance?
Which one is it? Maybe that would help her get it.
Which one are you looking for? To see all the properties with the horses, or just this?
Just that one right there. I don't know.
That's the plat which the county does not have proper reference to.
There you go.
Right.
So you should show me the subdivision line that you're proposing.
Comes out to, I believe it's, I don't hold me to these numbers, it's roughly between 3/10 and 4/10 of an acre, and that would leave, well, if you do the math right here, it's 1.1 is what would be left. So that would mean 3.367 would be the acreage here.
Okay, so describe to me where the turnout area for these horses would be, primarily?
Two small paddocks in front of the barn. That are behind the garden. Actually, there's a photograph of the garden. Well, right here. This is from the. There's a quadrant in the center of the garden here. These are the back two quadrants of the garden, and the two paths would be here. This is the pool and the other lots on this side. So you're talking about two small paddocks that would be irrigated so that there's no dust, and they would be maintained per the ordinance every day if the stalls could be.
And that obviously would be the concern on a lot that small, trying to maintain a couple. I mean, you're just going to have obviously a couple of dirt.
But yes, sir. Yeah. Well, they would obviously end up being dirt paddocks, and they would have to be watered, and they'd have to be drugged. One thing I didn't, there are several of the property owners that have the horse properties are here tonight as well, so they can certainly address the care and maintenance of how they take care of it. But there is a aggressive ordinance in place and a committee that comes by to be sure that these properties are being cared for properly and that the manure removal is being done and the paddocks are being cleaned.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McMillan, you pointed to the area where the proposed paddocks are going to be, but would it be one paddock, two paddocks?
One on each side of the walkway. Yeah, where he's got the arrow on one side and one on that side. It's just... With two horses, it's just, and that's also easier to maintain and rotate. It could be that they'll be big enough that you would only use one or the other, and there might be a possibility during the summer that you could get grass back in them. But, through the winter months here, and obviously that's usually when the horses are here, it's hard to keep grass in those. But you would have two for rotation and for also to keep them separate if they needed to be.
Just order of magnitude size of each paddock.
I just off the top of my head, maybe 60 by 60. They don't need a lot. These horses that would be as all the over the years, horses that are kept in town are worked. So they don't need turnout for exercise. They get their exercise doing something else. So if they need recreation or turnout, they're sent somewhere else to be turned out. It's just the nature of the downtown facilities. The horses that are kept there are not for rehab, and they're not to be petted. They're usually in some sort of work or training, and so they don't need the big space and the big turnout. It's mainly just for them to get out, roll, and stretch their legs.
I have a question. The swimming pool, do you plan to put a fence around the swimming pool or leave it open as it is now?
Well, I believe, well, with the lot being subdivided in the back, if they don't put a fence up there, then we're going to have to, for liability reasons, obviously, if it's open, they'd have to put a fence up. I don't think there would be any. In my mind, if you got horses running around, you need to have a fence around the pool. You got kids, you need fence around a pool. If that's one of the criteria of the application, then certainly that would be fine. But yeah, I think there would have to be some consideration in the quartering and off the pool.
I was simply thinking of the safety of the horses themselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, there are several of us who are current or past horse owners and have had horses at home. We're familiar, too, in here in Aiken with the maintenance of sport horses. But I assume these are not race horses. What is the use the owners plan?
But more than likely be fox hunters or eventers.
And they're, of course, not hunting every day. And
well, during hunt season, you usually give them a day. Yeah, that's the day off that they're in the paddock.
You could shop around and find some place to hunt every day.
Yes, sir. Might need more than two, but yes, sir.
And that's the intention of the owners?
Yes, sir.
To hunt as many days as possible?
We hunt, trail ride in Hitchcock Woods. A definitive use for what the horses are going to be that are going to be in the barn, I'm not prepared to tell you, but
I wish we could speak to the applicants, and I'd like to become familiar with what their intentions are. Do they plan to hack over the woods to hunt?
Absolutely.
Across South Boundary?
As the other farms do now that are on Marion and Colleton. And they go to if you go to the end of Marion Street where it dead ends into South Boundary, that access is the access to get to the dirt roads to get to the woods, and it's been used as long as I can remember.
So they hack over to Marion, down Marion to Grace, and over to the woods?
Yes, sir.
And that's what they do if they'd intend to hunt?
Yes, sir. And that's what the existing stables do here as well now, mm-hmm. on Colleton and Marion.
The paddocks they plan to put in, and you said two paddocks. I assume this is going to necessitate the removal of the present garden with the brick and the...
No, sir. It would be on each side of the brick garden and the hedge. I don't see that we would be doing anything in the way to disrupt or change anything. Maybe one or two of the camellias might have to come out, but we're not changing any. They would be divided on each side of the grass strip.
That's awful small paddocks. Okay. I guess I'm used to more.
Yes, sir.
Well, more spacious.
Well, and I live at the corner of Grace and Marlboro, and I mean we have large paddocks and we have small paddocks, so it's
okay. Two small paddocks then, and their use of the barn is they only plan to use two stalls.
Yes, sir. They would, yeah, because the allowed use for 1.1 acre is only two horses.
And we might, if we approve this application, limit their use to only two stalls from
the
barn.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Would that be possible to, can I question the our secretary at this point? Yes. Would that be possible to administer from the city's point of view? That their use is only to two stalls and not any other stalls? In other words, if they have guests, they're not going to turn them out into another unused stall.
I mean, there wouldn't even be any reason to keep all six stalls if you're only going to use two of them. So that you could even restrict that they be boarded up or made into storage. I mean, the ordinance says you can only have two horses per acre or whatever. I'm sorry if I'm using the wrong terminology, but that's the rule. So if you got more than what your land's supposed to have, I'm assuming there is some... You have teeth in the ordinance to enforce
that.
Well,
part of your rationale is this would less impact the house next door as far as distance from the house and distance from their quarters. So I'm saying we might, if we approve this, we'd limit the use to two stalls.
Absolutely.
Just simply want to know if the city could enforce this.
If that's the condition the board put on, it would be enforceable the same way as the number of horses that would be allowed.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chair.
Judy.
How long have the present owners owned this house?
Almost 2 years.
Okay. Did they buy that knowing that there was a restriction on the horses?
When they bought the property, we asked about asking for the variance for the horses, but it was the Sears family estate that owned it, and they said under no conditions would they make it a condition of the sale to do it because they weren't going to go through it again. The estate was not interested in going through it again. Mm-hmm. But obviously, and I don't know if you've been to the property,
Oh, yeah. The
stalls are there, the latches work, the doors closed, and their bridle racks and saddle racks in the tack room. I think obviously they're going through this process now to hope to be able to get it reinstated, to use it under whatever guidelines and restrictions you see fit.
And they already have horses?
Yes, ma'am.
In Florida, or wherever they're from?
Okay.
Thank you.
Have they explored other options such as boarding the horses elsewhere?
I think there's more to the question is why have the barn there if you can't put horses in it? And this is obviously at your discretion. We want to know, before they make any further renovations or do anything else to the property, whether they're going to be able to use the existing barn that was built in 1892 for what it was originally intended. That is at your discretion. We're asking for your permission to do it. Or if you deny it, then obviously other plans would need to be made. But this is step one and the step that's most appropriate, not only for the owners, but for this historic property.
Our interest in this special exception request is how you address and plan to meet the 11 criteria. One of those 11 criteria, number four, is concern with the neighbors. Apparently, there appear to be very little concern about the neighbors, what the neighbors think.
Well, I've read the letters. Most of the neighbors' complaint have to do with issues that are in place now that are governed by the ordinance for the care and maintenance of horses. I can't dispute. In my opinion, it's not whether you like horses here or you don't like horses here. It's whether you can enforce the existing rules that are in place in a horse town. The community has the ordinance. It's whether you guys choose to enforce the ordinance on this piece of property, and if the ordinance is properly enforced and lived by, the concerns of the neighbors don't exist, because the reason for the ordinance is to take care of flies, to take care of smell, and take care of all of those things that are the major concerns of the letters that I saw from the owners. And I understand that these are the 12 people that live close by, but the 70 signatures you see there, and if you look at the addresses, they're not people from Woodside, and I'm nothing against Woodside, but the majority of these people are people that live in the community that are within two blocks of a horse wherever they turn in the community. So I think that there is a representation here that feels strongly about the idea of maintaining this estate in its present, or not the present use, but in its intended use.
Mr. Chairman, could we actually get those forms? And I think we have to say what exhibit it is. Could we get those packets passed around to us and give us a few minutes to look at them, please?
Mr. McMillan, may I call you back to the stand when we have a chance to review these?
Yes, sir. And thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
In the meantime, are there others to speak to the special exception?
Thank you. My name is Joanne Peace, and
repeat your last name, please.
Peace. My husband and I own the horse property at 248 Marion Street. It is the property that is at the corner of, we own property on Williamsburg, Colleton, and Marion. We have a little over 2 acres there. I have a 16-stall barn. I've had up to 7 horses there at a time, never to the 16 that I've got stalls for. But in the time that I've had it, we have a neighbor that borders directly to our barn, who is on Marion Street. His back property line comes right up to my barn, and his...
That's inappropriate, but that is the photograph that you have in the package that you
pass around. Okay. His side property, or his, I guess that's his side property. His back property backs up to one of my paddocks. We've originally had stockade fence there. We have taken that down and have done board fence so that he looks over into our paddocks rather than looking at stockade as he drives in his driveway, which he's thrilled with. We have 2 other neighbors who border on the north side, on the railroad side. And then, as I say, we've got Williamsburg on the other side. Of all our neighbors, we've got neighbors on Marion, we've got neighbors on Colleton, and now we're getting neighbors on Williamsburg with the new properties that are being built there. I've never had anyone ever complain about my horses, smell, flies, anything, and if somebody wants to prove me wrong, say so, but I have never had anybody object to the horses. Of the people in our area, they love seeing the horses. I think that's what they think keeps Aiken unique, of being able to have horses there. I ride from my property, as Carl was saying. I'll ride Marion Street to the cut through, taking me over to Grace, and then I'll ride from there down to Hitchcock Woods. Other times I will ride through the parkway on Colleton, turn at Sumter, ride right past the Roswell property. That will take me to south boundary, then across on Sumter, hack down Sumter, hit the dirt roads there. People seem to enjoy seeing horses. I get nothing but waves and people stopping, saying, so nice to see horses, and taking my picture. But I have not had any complaints of flies, noise, nuisance, anything. And, as I say, I've had up to 7 horses there and have never had an issue. And I think that, if anything, having a horse property next to you makes your property a little unique. That's what's part of Aiken. And I must say that the people who are building across the road from me on Williamsburg, they're not building just because it's looking across at somebody else's home. To look across at a horse property makes it a little nicer than just looking across the road at another house.
Does the board have any questions for Ms. Peace?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. You're on Colleton between Marion and Williamsburg.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And your property is zoned light industrial?
Part of it is residential.
Straight residential? Zoning map showed me as all light industrial.
No,
how long have you had
only
horses on?
Back section.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, only back section is light industrial.
How long have you had horses on it?
15 years.
Okay, so you were grandfathered, or did you have to apply for approval to have
the horse? No, it was a horse property when we purchased
it. So it's been continued?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I'm trying to relate the comparability of your property to this particular property, which is 2 blocks away in 2 blocks that are zoned straight residential.
Okay, well, where... I think only the back section of my property is light industrial. So everything from where the barn is, where the house is, and, you know, paddocks on Marion, paddocks on Colleton, and one paddock on Williamsburg. That is all residential. Only the back section is the light industrial.
Okay, yeah, the lot across from you on Marion is zoned residential multi-light occupancy. I'm just trying to understand the comparability of your property to this particular property. You know, you don't have to argue with me about it. I'm trying to understand the comparability is all.
My thought would be comparability. I've got, you know, on Marion Street across the road from me is houses on, you know, quarter acre lots, I assume, one right after another.
The new houses.
That's light industrial.
The new houses across the parkway.
Oh, no, that's on Williamsburg.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess that is still, because that was the old Bruges distributorship, that probably is still light industrial. But I thought that all got changed to residential.
It was changed to residential.
Yes, yes. But everything surrounding me on, you know, the other two sides is residential. It's only our back section that's light industrial.
Thank you.
Judy, and then Derek.
You say you've been there with horses for 15 years, right? But it was a horse place before you got there, is that correct? Okay. So therefore, the people who are surrounding you knew that that was a horse place when they moved in, right? Now the people who live at 230, the adjoining property, is that what you were talking about, 230... Marion Street, you were saying that that person, who lives next door?
Jim Sector.
Okay, your address is 248, right. Okay, so then there's a house next door. Are those horse people too? Do they have horses?
They do not have horses there.
Okay.
No, that that's totally a residential lot.
Okay.
It's not an acre lot. Never has been
okay.
A horse property.
But that house, that property was up for sale several years ago. Is this a relatively new person?
That has sold several times since we've been there.
And they knew the horses were there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I certainly enjoy riding by and seeing the horses, but it's because since we've been in Aiken 43 years, and I think there have been horses there ever since. So that's what you expect, and so people moving in expect to have them.
And, you know, people seem to be very happy to have the horses, and as I say, you know, when people go past on Marion, you know, they always wave or they'll stop to take pictures, and, I think that's what makes Aiken unique.
Okay. Thank you.
You've owned the property 15 years. Prior to that, who was the owner? Was that the Bostwick family that had that tract?
Prior to that was out of Kentucky, but I don't remember his name. And I believe he had horses there off and on. There were no horses there for several years prior to us purchasing the property. It was, you know, somewhat, you know, abandoned. They had moved out, and, you know, nobody was living there.
Okay.
I don't know what might have happened, Mr. Chairman. We've got, of course, grandfathering. If you discontinue the use, I believe it's after 6 months. Is that right, Mike? The grandfathering protection is lost. So either the property was approved specifically for horses after the granting of the new ordinances, or it was assumed to have had continual grandfathering.
I do not believe that in the time 6 months prior there had been horses there. I think it was at least a year plus from the time the previous owner had horses there. So there was a good bit of a lag when there were no horses there.
So you think technically
there.
The grandfathering was lost?
I don't know. Maybe I'm opening a bag of worms here.
I don't want to have Mike investigate this, but obviously it was something that we would enforce after the fact.
Hopefully not.
I think at this point it'd be an existing non-conforming facts case.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception?
Yes, my name is Melissa Bodenheimer McInnes, and I grew up at 334 Sumter Street. I now live in Columbia. There are a few things, and you'll have to be patient with me because this is very emotional for us. We went through this 28 years ago when the Sears tried to get horses. This was weighed and vetted very carefully about what would be an acceptable compromise, which is having all things horse closer to the dwelling than to the other buildings for the neighbors. People vilified my family, tried to make it seem as though we hated horses, which is not the case. Mr. McMillan alluded to liking or not liking horses earlier. We love horses. We love Aiken. I am from Aiken, grew up in Aiken. I, you know, had little campouts on the roof of the garage right next to the pool house, you know, growing up. This is my home. This is not just a property I bought 2 years ago and don't even show up to the hearing to represent my request. Mr. McMillan also, two quotes that I wrote down that he said earlier, you know, the reasons of concern of the neighbors don't exist. I don't want the neighbors' concerns to be dismissed or categorized by Mr. McMillan in any way. We're perfectly capable of speaking for ourselves. It is not that we don't like horses. It is not just flies. It is not just rats, which we had a problem from those stables previously. It is that Mr. McMillan, even at the after the advice of Tommy Paradise, to please, you know, speak to the neighbors and see how they feel about it, explain your position, what you'd like to do. From all the neighbors that we talked to, none were approached by, you know, the owners or Mr. McMillan. There seems to be a complete disregard for the people where it's their home. The neighbors set up a website when they bought the house on Facebook. It's called Rose Wall, and underneath it says, "Just for fun." This is my home. This is my mother's home. Our neighbors have been there forever. It's not just for fun for us. And the thing is that they can have horses on a property under the ordinance as it's written today. They just have to have it closer to their dwelling than to our recreational buildings and those of the neighbors. He also said that the photographs were misleading. I have here, it's in your packet, one of the photos that I submitted that shows the backyard. And I don't know if you want me to bring it up there or if you'd like to find it on the big screen. Yes, you want this is the bedroom. This is where the stables start. Maximum from the window. This is where my father was in hospice care, and that's where he had to sit.
Is that photo in our packet?
Yes, it is. It's photo number 9.
Can we find it on the overhead so you can...
What number is it, John? It's photo number 9, page 10 in our packet. Thank you.
Windows starting here for the stalls. This end of the property is finished
for a pool house. And this, which is originally referred to as just the patio, this is our living space outside. This is the pavilion. This is where we entertain. We have had plenty of bistro punch and croquet matches and the grandchildren of our cake. We grew up here. This is where we spend all our time. It's not just the patio. I don't appreciate it being belittled. This building was originally a forest house. We never bothered appropriate or asked that we be able to open it back up as a forest house, even though that is the original need. We were pretty creative on this year. We donated one to USC. We made a couple of pavilion out of the other one. Dismissed that way, it's not appropriate. And yes, we are the most impacted by this. But there's good reason. And there's good reason why the ordinance is in place. What they're asking for is preference on location of forces, not a need or necessity.
It'd be easier for us to hear if you were right there.
I'm sorry, you're going to. It is very emotional for me. There's also, I think there was something on the next slide on 11, so you can see where the stalls stop. That's the inside of the pavilion. It's not just 11 is the one.
Next one over.
That's enough. That's not the full picture. If you go back to 11, I don't know why it's not loaded.
But you can see here, this is where the stalls stop, where our patio is. So this is the length of any two stalls that you chose to limit them to. This is a finished or semi-finished area. This is the area where the rats came over from previous owners. It's in disrepair today when I looked at it the other day. This is not an inconsequential.
I just want to make the point that this is not inconsequential to the neighbors. And, you know, we have had this in your packet, too?
Yes.
There's one addition I saw when I was reading the notes of opposition. This is the neighborhood. The owners could have bought property anywhere in Aiken. They could have bought property where the ordinance allowed for horses. They didn't. They bought this property. We bought this property in 1974. There weren't horses there. We came in with the expectation that there was not going to be horses next to us. And Mr. McMillan makes the point that it's imperative that they be restored, and yet when he's limited to two, he has no problem with, you know, converting the others to storage or whatever. Again, it's a preference. It's not an imperative that horses get put back in this original barn. And I would please ask your consideration. I don't want my mother to be taken advantage of. I don't want the other neighbors to be taken advantage of. I guess that's all I have to say for now.
Any questions from the board?
Just one comment to you. While the case that Mr. McMillan makes that the stalls would be restricted to the ones that are around the corner on the L makes it, I think, a better situation than having the stalls immediately abutting your recreational area. According to the...
They're all abutting.
According to the ordinance, they're still far closer to your recreational area than the residents. So, I mean, that's all we're concerned about as far as the ordinance.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Melissa?
Yes.
The your family, the Bodenhammer family, bought the residence and the property in 1974.
74, yes.
Okay, and when your mother and father bought the property, I want to recall that Mrs. Lachlan still lived in the house that's in the residence that's in question now. Is that?
Did live in the house?
She was part time, if I recall. Is that right?
I can't answer that. I know my mother confirms that.
And so at that time, certainly when she was there, or when y'all bought the place and she was there part-time, there were no horses there. There was not any indication that horses were there. Is that your understanding?
They had a small pond, fish pond, and two mallard ducks in the backyard, to be specific. I know that from my hideout on top of the garage. Yes, and I also want to say that when we were speaking with the neighbors, my sister and I, we spoke with Mr. Perry, who is related to the McCartys, who was the original owner. We are the second owners at 334 mm-hmm. Saunders Street. And he relayed the story that when Miss McLaughlin last had horses, she didn't keep them there. She had them brought over during the day and returned at night. So they were not in residence at the home mm-hmm. even then.
I have a question and or a comment. Photo 7 on page 8 is rather telling, I think, of the close proximity.
Yes.
This is your house, right?
That is the living space where my father and my mother lived, and that's where my mother would move if she moved out
so
of the
that is a bedroom on the other side of that wall?
That is a bedroom with a window, yes. Two windows. Three windows, actually. That's actually my sister.
Okay.
Is that an exhibit number, John?
It's page 8, photo 7.
It's page 8 on photo 7.
That distance is less than 2 feet.
Okay, yeah,
okay.
I have one other picture that I did not put in there because I didn't want overwhelm. but if I could show it to you, it shows the back window and how close it is to the stable.
I think we've all been, we've all visited the property. Any other questions from the board?
Yeah, going back to that particular photo, could you point to the building that's your, would you call it guest house?
Yes, guest house or living space.
No.
My parents had it as
it's
the rest.
It's that building to the right?
Yes.
Yes. Bedroom.
Okay, and that building is on the other property, and that's the back corner of the barn.
This is actually, this front part is an apartment, and where the horses come in and out through that door, and then the other photo shows that just shortly back there is the actual stables begin.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have others to speak.
Good evening. I'm Rosalie Fox, and I live at 616 Colleton. I also own the house next door at 610 Colleton, which is our cottage, former horse property. I have a barn on 610, a small carriage barn. It was the property was built for the Vanderbilt's driver. He gave it to them. Morris Rudnick tells me the title reads, as an act of kindness for his years of service. I haven't seen the title. I am a horse owner. I formerly owned property on Two Notch Road in the Horse District. It never occurred to me to try to convert my property on Colleton to horse property because as a horse owner, I would consider that inappropriate. There's simply not room, if you're kind to horses, for such a small space. I would also not do that because you cannot control for certain kinds of critters you find around a barn. Horses leave a lot of manure behind. They graze 23 hours a day, and it only takes 15 minutes for what they're grazing on to pass through their system. and flies lay eggs in the manure, and even with copious amounts of fly spray during the summer, you can't control the flies, and you can't tell the flies where the property lines are. I previously wrote a letter to Mr. Paradise that I asked to be distributed to you, and I'm sure he did. And in that letter, I explained some of my misgivings, some about the evaluation of neighboring properties, and some about the concerns I had for safety and health issues. In a barn, it's inevitable that you get flies, you get reptiles, you get cats, you get hawks flying through. A barn is a busy place. It isn't just horses. It's a very busy place. And even if you make the greatest efforts to keep your barns and your paddocks clean, there's still horse manure and all the other residuals that go with large animals. And large animals, farm animals, kept in a small urban property is just far more problematic than keeping farm animals out on farms. I assume there's a reason that it follows my thinking that we have both a horse property and a historic property or districts. The two are mutually exclusive, and we do have a couple of exceptions in the historic district, but those have long histories, and the one I tried to buy that Joey Peace now owns was without horses for many years. When I was thinking about buying it before she bought it, horses were no longer kept there, and there was a question of whether or not I could get the right to keep horses there, so we bought property on Two Notch instead. After giving the board the first letter, or giving Mr. Paradise the first letter for distribution to the barn, I began to think about some of the property problems that we have had in the past few years right in the areas adjacent to this property that's the subject of your consideration tonight. Back in 2009, the historic property at Ori and Colleton and Marion was sold by the Pearsons, and there were some problems. I don't know the nature of them. I only know what was rumored, and I'm not going to share that. But the property was abandoned for a time, and there was a swimming pool which filled up with green slime. The gates flew open and closed in the wind. The neighbors complained of reptiles, large snakes and feral cats and other critters going into the property and staying there. And I wrote the city, and I got a response from the city. I will read my response, and it's signed by the mayor, and I will share copies with all of you if I may.
What? I'm missing your point. What's the point you're trying to make?
The point I am about to make is that last night, as I thought about all of this, I realized that we've had a number of problems having to do with safety and health issues, or having to do with enforcement of ordinances in our neighborhood. And we seem to have either a lack of regulation or the inability to implement regulations, or the lack of enforcement of the regulations. And I wanted to share some of these problems with the board because I think it bears to the issue of whether or not we want to grant variances and exceptions that might lend itself to even more problems, safety and health problems. The first letter I got from Mayor Kavanaugh said, "Dear Rosalie, I just wanted to give you an update on the safety work at Let's Pretend. A week ago, the work was completed to eliminate the safety items and animal concerns that we all had. These items were cover openings in the foundation, cut down the tall weeds in the backyard, lock the gates, remove the loose boards, etc. from the house, and added chemicals to the pool and covered it. I want you to know that our staff and inspectors are on the job and staying close to the issue. Roger and I have discussed a couple of things we can do in the future to try to discourage this type of situation from occurring. We appreciate your bringing this to our attention and look forward to you being at our next city council meeting to give us your thoughts. Sincerely, Fred." And then there was a follow-on. That letter was written on October 21, 2009, with the follow-on to the original discussion about the safety problems. Some of the problems that we have had since then, and apparently weren't resolved by whatever Fred and Roger suggested be changed to see that that sort of thing didn't happen again, has happened. And I will read you the letter that I wrote last night to you.
Is that pertinent to...
It is pertinent. We have had problems, and these problems have gone unresolved. And I think that the issue before you now will add to these problems, and I'm wondering about how we will resolve those, if I may. "For at least the past 10 years, a series of safety and health issues and disregard for property maintenance has been allowed to occur and continue unabated in Aiken's historic district. The application to convert 607 to horse property in the midst of an established residential area will carry on this pattern of city neglect. By way of examples, the historic 9,000 square feet residence, Let's Pretend, was abandoned several years ago. In 2009, I appeared before the city council to complain that the gates to the property were swinging open and the swimming pool was full to the brim with green slime. That was a safety and health hazard, especially to children. There were also tall weeds in the yard and gaping holes in the structure where a lot of boarding had been removed to treat wood rot. Neighbors were complaining of large snakes and other critters living in and under the house. A letter from Mayor Kavanaugh, dated 10/21/09, indicated to me that the problems would be solved, and he and the city manager were discussing future actions to try to discourage this type of situation from occurring in the future. The city manager, Roger LeDuc, also kept me updated by telephone on the status of the resolutions. In that same time frame, a contractor was given variances to develop lots on Sumter between Colleton and the railroad cut. Most of the work was never completed. Large abandoned trash piles were left for several years. An incomplete brick foundation still stands today. The area was not only an eyesore and blight on the historic district, it was an attraction to feral animals and reptiles. In 2015, the owner of the property on the northeast corner of Colleton and Sumter tore down the fence between my guest house at 610 Colleton and the abandoned house on his property, loaded my wood into his truck, and drove away. In court on December 14, 2015, he testified to the judge that he would return the wood from my fence and build a new fence. He did return my wood, but has never built a new fence. As far as I know, he had no city permit to tear down my fence. He also applied to the city for a permit to clear-cut the lot, but has not done so. He also testified that he would tear down the abandoned house and clean up the lot. He has done neither. The lot has overturned plastic chairs and mattresses laying around among piles of trash. wild cats and their kittens live in the house. Warm weather will probably bring other critters to the site. The lot is an eyesore in the historic district, which the city touts as a tourist attraction and a resource for attracting business and investments in the area.
Ms. Burke, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call time on you. Because I do not see where this is germane to our issue that we're dealing with.
Well, my point is that these series of things that some people find amusing, and I do not as a resident of the area, is that there have been a series of issues which there are apparently some kind of regulations to prevent. But the city has lacked the ability or the intent to prevent these issues. And so when someone wants to convert a piece of property so small into a piece of horse property, I'm concerned because we've not been able to enforce regulations in the past, at least the 15 years I've lived on Colleton, and I don't believe that that will change in the future if I'm to look at the historic record. So issues like flies, issues like runaway horses, issues like taking the horses down Colleton Avenue. Now there's only a couple of people that do that, and that's fine. But it wouldn't be fine if there were an increasing number. That's the issues that I want to bring before the board, and I recommend against these applications.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have others to speak?
Hi. My name is Kent Baldwin. I live at 621 Colleton Avenue, directly next door to the subject property. I want to thank you for your time tonight, and I want to begin by just right out of the gate letting you know we object to this application, and we request that you do not approve it on a number of fronts and reasons. The most basic reason for our objection is horses just do not belong on this property or in this part of the neighborhood. The property is not sized appropriately for horses. The neighborhood has long moved on from horses being in the neighborhood. The residents in and around this property have purchased, have bought, and live in this neighborhood, counting on the zoning ordinance that does not permit horses to be there. Our property values are invested in that, and we feel that allowing horses on this property will detrimentally impact our values and our lifestyle. The negative impact on us as direct neighbors and the other neighbors is obvious, and it's really mind-boggling to me that anyone would propose this. We've owned a horse. We understand the type of property needed to properly support a horse, as well as the property maintenance required. This property doesn't come close to meeting even a minimum standard of that. It's not even feasible. The size of the property, the structures, the percentage of coverage on this lot leaves so little area for the horses that for them to humanely stay there is ridiculous. There will be a detrimental impact with odors, rodents. There's a drainage problem already on Ory Street. It floods every time it heavily rains. This will only compound the issue. The introducing horses to this property will affect the lives of those nearby, much less us next door, and it'll reduce property values, will be reduced to compensate for the public safety and nuisance risks that will exist. A lot of the technical aspects of this application are seriously flawed. In the special exception application, I feel it's important that we keep in mind they purchased this home knowing that it was in a zone that does not allow horses. It's not a right. It should not be granted a special exception, in our opinion. The size, shape, and character of this lot is not suitable for horses. Acreage alone is not enough. The arrangement of the stable, pool, garage, formal gardens, and house are not compatible with properly keeping horses on this property. The neighbors are going to bear the brunt of these impacts. our homes, our accessory structures, buildings, are closer to our to us than they are to this primary residence. The applicant stated that the Bodenheimers are the only ones that have a structure closer than this primary residence. It's not correct. We have a pool, we have a garage, we have an accessory building that will be closer than this house. So we will be impacted. You know, the notion that the privacy fencing and walls will mitigate any adverse effect is ridiculous. There's a haphazard stockade fence, chain link fence, barbed wire fence, patchwork of unfinished brickwork that are clearly not going to be capable of housing these horses, and they're not an asset to the neighborhood. The proximity of the stable to the adjacent dwelling does impose public health concerns. It's only a few feet from the Bodenheimers. It's just not appropriate. As far as the variance request is concerned, you know, as I mentioned before, the fences, walls, and barbed wire are not adequate buffers for this neighbor. More importantly, we should not be considering a variance that allows a use that requires it to be buffered from neighbors. I mean, that's the purpose and reason for zoning and ordinances, and we rely on the protection of those ordinances. You know, the prior owner did not forfeit his right to keep horses, as stated in this application. The prior owner never had horses, and it had been over 50-some-odd years since they were there. The neighborhood's moved on, like I said, from this style of living. It's not appropriate. The existence of the barn is not sufficient reason to impose horses on this and neighboring properties. They're prohibited. It's not appropriate. Using the logic within the application would allow us to request a variance for an obsolete outhouse on our property. It's just flawed thinking, and it shouldn't be allowed. You know, the threat of subdividing the property shouldn't be a factor either. This barn could easily be repurposed with some creativity, as was done on other properties of the neighborhood. It would add value to that property and to the neighborhood. The historic balance of the neighborhood does not depend on having horses in this property. Good design, proper upkeep, and basic respect for the historic character of the property is far more important. You know, there's been allusions to mistakes that have been made on this property. The design review board has dropped the ball on several issues. It's impaired the property and negatively impacted the neighborhood. You know, this is, to me, this is just a cute real estate ploy to increase the property's value for a very small set of would-be buyers without any consideration or respect for the neighbors that have to live with these impacts on their daily lives and the negative property values that will certainly result. You know, we ask the citizens of Aiken, and particularly the residents to this neighborhood, depending on you, the Board of Zoning Appeals, to protect us and deny this application.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Bowling?
I have a question. Yeah, Kent, please. I'm glad you showed up because you did mention something that I would like to clarify even further. There is a building in your rear yard that's on the east side, south of your house. What's the nature of that building?
It's a storage, garage, shop building that we house garden tools, shop equipment.
It is a shop,
yes.
So you do work in there regularly. Does that qualify as a, Mike, as a outbuilding for the purpose of measuring the closeness of the stall, the stalls to be used, and the paddocks being closer to his building rather than as compared to the applicant's house?
I would interpret that as an accessory structure that would come in.
Okay, so there's actually two.
We have an exercise equipment in there. We use it on almost a daily basis.
Okay, so they mentioned that the Bodenheim had a property that is the stalls and the paddock would be closer to their property. It's equal in your case as well. Okay, thank you.
Would the pool?
Go ahead, Brett.
Would the pool fall in that same category, Mike? Didn't you say you had a pool?
Yeah.
Does that fall?
I would mean that as an accessory.
Oh, you have a pool.
So that's
yes.
Oh, didn't realize.
It's closer
than that relative to your house.
Storage building.
It's closer. You say it's closer to.
It's as close as the storage garage outbuilding that we have on our property.
Okay, that's not on the flat map, but I didn't see it from when I.
The overhead view. GIS map, you'll see actually the photograph.
I'm not sure which direction, but...
Mm-hmm. That one shows pool. Yeah.
So if we do talk about 3B, there's two properties.
Yeah. Right.
That's one of them.
Move it up higher.
Being floating in the pool. So here at the pool, this is, you know, where the, I think the barn is right here. This is the residence of the applicant.
Your
home is here.
Like the workshop.
Right here. Okay. You can't face the other way and circle your work building.
It's hidden behind the trees.
Mr. Patanini, on the memorandum 3B, I think Tommy did copy what it talks about. It says, kept the nearest premise that no closer to the dwelling buildings, accessory buildings, and recreational structures on adjoining lots, which those would have.
So in 3B, we have two properties.
Two properties, right. Right.
Quick question on the, you referenced flooding on Ori, and your thought that having horses on this property would adversely impact that?
Well, I think that's more, I guess, pertinent if the Ori property was going to be part of this application. But there's a serious flooding problem when it rains. So if the Ori property was also going to be where they paddocked and kept horses, and were trailing in and out of there, it floods and is underwater. And, okay. You know, even.
Yeah, the applicant's rep stated that the intention is to divide that off, I assume, for sale, regardless of the disposition of this application.
But it did allude to that in the staff report, that the Horry property would be part of Ann Paddock's.
Yep. It was written before they...
Okay. Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the... Yes.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Beth Bodenheimer DeBoyanen. I'm Kay Bodenheimer's daughter. My sister and I grew up in that house at 334 Sumter Street.
Your address, please?
Mine is 319 South Chimney Lane in Columbia, but we are co-heirs to this.
Your mother's house.
That's correct. And we spend quite a bit of time there. My sister has said almost everything I need to say to you. My mother's lived there 42 years. We have a great neighborhood. One of the things that mystifies me is how the owners, who are, at least he is listed as a real estate investor, would buy a property knowing full well that there was an ordinance regarding the horses and the proximity to adjoining properties, without talking to neighbors, without looking into it. If they're so intent on having the horses there, when there are other properties available two blocks over in the horse district with the dirt lanes, out, you know, in the country, there's huge farms, even fox chase. But they chose not to do that, and they should have full knowledge of that. They also should have had full knowledge that there was 28 years ago a huge meeting of the minds over this, and in which it was very much opposed by some of the neighbors that are here tonight and others at that time. There was a good reason why that ordinance was in effect. Particularly, my mother's property is affected. As you saw, it is 2 feet from our guest house. Probably about 23 years ago, my father renovated that floral shop, a historic building that was operated in the 1930s. We can't operate it as business, wouldn't want to, wouldn't do it to our neighbors. He put probably $40,000 plus 23 years ago into that building. It's beautiful. It is used every month. Like I said, my parents lived there 5 years. My mother move back out there again if she needs to. My children, my friends, my family, they come and stay in that house. It's used probably once a month, as is the recreational area. So it is something we use on a regular basis. Mr. McMillan said that he did not see the relevancy in asking about the status of the current owners, but I do have to ask that because I think they, Mr. McMillan told me directly that they would be part-time residents. You know, we're full-time residents. We've lived here all our lives. My mother does. Many neighbors, Mr. Holly, you name it. I do question, we have heard about the marital status. We've heard that they do not intend to live here. We have heard that the house has been unofficially shown, which leads me to believe that perhaps the property is being prepped to be sold for the maximum profit. I don't know. I think that's an important question to ask. A lot of other things have been covered, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the precedent that would be set if this variance was granted. There is no other property that I can think of that pushes the boundaries of proximity and necessity more than this one. That stable is literally on the line. It is 2 feet from the guest house, 6 feet from our recreation area, and it's closer to our own residence, to their house. If this is granted, there are plenty of other neighbors that have unused historic stables that fall more within the reasonableness of the ordinance. If this was granted, I think it would be heading down the slippery slope of, you know, others coming forward, one and the same, wanting to have their variances granted, and I just think it could change the whole dynamic of the neighborhood. Like my sister said, it's a very emotional topic for us. We love that neighborhood. We love our neighbors. And I would just ask you to look at the facts and please support us on this one.
I might add that every variance request that we get on this board, each must send its own merit. We don't set precedent for that automatically a fall for the next application.
Yes, sir.
Question from the board? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Lynn Scrivener, and I am new to Aiken. I moved here from Carmel, California, another little-known winter colony, and I moved here for the horses. And my husband and I hope very much to purchase a property in the horse district on which we can keep horses. So this issue is very near and dear to my future, if not my past. I think there's nothing wrong with fun. One of the attacks on these properties' owners and their wanting to keep horses here today was that it was just for fun, and it was stated, and I see nothing wrong with fun in this property or any other. I do respect that the folks that stated those opinions have lived here a long time and feel strongly about their home. I see nothing wrong with profit, real estate profit or any other kind of profit. If there is a profit motive, well, you know, the values in Aiken going up is always probably a good thing for all of you who live here in Aiken. Mr. Bodenheimer, I believe I'm saying that right, said that his property will go down in value if horses are allowed next door. And I believe that from what I can see as an outsider looking in, the properties that allow horses are worth more money than the properties that don't. So I'm not sure I understand his comment there. I also believe Mr. Bodenheimer's property is for sale and that he's moving, apparently, from that property.
Mr. Bodenheimer. Well, ma'am, we do it. We don't allow shouts from the audience.
But anyway, and I realize we also listened to health concerns about horses from someone who appeared to have a gripe about a previous long ago gripe about fencing and someone who stole wood from her. And I do feel sorry for that, and I know those kinds of things are very frustrating. But I would just like to say, I vote, you know, if I were voting, you know, I voted by moving here, right? I would like to see as many horse properties as is practical and possible within the greater horse district and beyond as you can bear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the chair?
Just one comment to you. We on the board, and certainly the city, are very enthusiastic about protecting the use and the presence of horses in Aiken. And as regard to horses in residential areas, we have substantial property that is zoned horse district and RSS residential single family stable, and also residential stable to provide for that. The restrictions are in residential areas, and there is no use of horses by right. It's only by special exception where it doesn't negatively impact on other properties.
Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the special exception?
My name is Kay Bodenheimer, and the other man was Mr. Baldwin. I own the property that is apparently closest to the stables. The stables...
Ms. Bodenheimer, would you pull the mic down a little bit? Sure. Thank you.
I hadn't done this in a long time. 28 years, as a matter of fact. I own that property at 334, and the guest house is 332. So actually, there are two buildings there. I want to thank all of you for doing the job that you do. I wouldn't want to do it myself. I think it's very hard, but I appreciate the fact that you will think clearly about everything that you do. I also want to say that I thank my daughters for doing my part of what has been done so far. I have a few things to say, but they have done a lot of the legwork, and I thank them. And I also would like to thank the other people who have been opposed to this variance, excuse me. But I also want to thank Mr. Baldwin for saying what he said. If I had my way of saying as well as he does, I'd be very happy. He said exactly what I think. And so I hope you will remember that and listen to that. I do have one particular point that I want to go back to, and that is the odor of manure, and not just the manure. Urine is the real problem with that, and there's always that combination. Several years ago, and I don't want to go into the past, but there was a place that was a collection place for horse debris, I guess, is the best way for me to say it. And it was on the corner of Whiskey and South Boundary on the side that the museum is now on, across the catacombed across from the library. When you went by that corner and turned the corner, you had, if you were trying to smell the odors in the spring of Aiken, you had to roll up your windows because you could not get past that corner because of that odor and whatever. I'm not the only one who thinks that. There's somebody sitting here who is a friend of mine who has a pool not very far from that, about three blocks from that. And she has told me that during that time that they could not use their pool, not because of the odor they were willing to go through that, but because the flies that were being hatched in all of that mess were bothering them so much that they could not enjoy the pool on their property, which is something I think my neighbors who have been fortunate enough to have pools should consider. But odors, even though the stables seem to have a wall behind them between my house and theirs, it doesn't matter. That odor does not come out of the stable and sit up here in the air. That odor comes out of the stable and spreads to the entire neighborhood. and it would be an everyday thing for those of us who live there all the time, and even if we didn't. It would happen every morning. We would walk out of our houses, do whatever we were doing, and there would be that horrid odor that we really cannot control. Now, can I tell you a rat problem? Okay, this is for entertainment as well as information. We had a small terrier who barked at a wood pile that was away from the stable wall, so several 10 feet away. And we didn't know why, and so we started pulling the wood off the wood pile one day while she was barking, and out ran a rat, not a mouse, a rat without the tail, this long, black, the kind you see in horror movies. We called the exterminator. The people who owned the property at the time were not there. I have to say this. This was from dog food, not from horse stuff. But the rats had chewed through what was supposedly an impenetrable container. And he killed 8 to 10 rats. I'm not sure. Now, this is the part that I think you might enjoy. My son was walking home from Aiken Elementary, which is now the library, and he came in and he said, "Mom, I saw the strangest thing. You've got to come look," when I walked through the parkway a minute ago. And I said, "What was it?" He said, "That was a big, long, black snake out there, and it had 8 lumps in it. I counted them. There was a snake, then a lump, then snake, then a lump." The snake was a rat snake, I guess. And he had come in and had smelled or found out somehow that those rats were there and had eaten them. And I walked out and watched him go straight up a tree. He did not wiggle. He went straight up the tree out on a limb, and I could not see him. So I advise you be careful when you walk on the tree limbs and make it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the variance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Marshall Cain, C-A-I-N. I do not live in the neighborhood, but I do live probably 3 or 4 blocks from it at 807 Oleander Drive at the intersection of Oleander and let me think of it now. I'll try not to be very brief, and I'll try not to be repetitive, because practically every point has been covered here tonight. Let me mention a couple of points, I think, that have not been covered. I've lived in Aiken since 1935. And during that period of time, rules, regulations, ordinances have grown for the protection of property. And I think to the good, it's been for the protection of homeowners. And I served as chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And very rarely did we grant exceptions, because it would derogate the right of property owners who had purchased property relying upon those rules and regulations and ordinances. My concern, every time there is a petition for an exception to what has been enacted, is that it is an erosion of some of these rules and regulations and ordinances which have been enacted for the protection of the property owners. I'm quite certain when Mr. John Bodenheimer, who was a very good lawyer, purchased this property many years ago, he relied upon the ordinances and rules and regulations that govern this section of Aiken. And I doubt very seriously if he would have purchased this property had it not been a horse barn next to him. I'm also concerned that once an exception is granted for 2 horses, when there are other stables in this property, it would be so easy to grant an exception for a 3rd horse and a 4th horse and so on down. Once that exception is listed, it's so easy to proceed on. I think granting an exception in this case would adversely affect the real estate values of the Bodenheimers. As a prospective purchaser, I think I would think very seriously not to buy property which had horse barns next to it because of the odor, because of the flies, and because of the adverse effect on the property. It becomes less desirable when that happens. So I urge you to seriously consider these points as well as the others that have already been brought up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marshall. Do we have others to speak to the special exception or the variance?
Board members, I thank y'all for your time today. My name is Danielle Sertek. I've been a Aiken resident here for 14 years, originally from Columbia, South Carolina.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It must be my hearing.
Is that better, sir?
Yes.
Oh, it seems loud. Okay. My name is Danielle Sertek. I've been an Aiken resident for 14 years. Originally came from Columbia, South Carolina. I do not live next to the property. However, I do live here in town. And I look at this as what drew me to Aiken. Why I came here, why I want to buy property here. I'm into the horses, grew up showing, and what drew me to Aiken after college was the horse community, the historic value of what we have within Aiken, and how that was different than any other place I had been within the U.S. and other continents. So I hear concerns today from the manure, the flies, and I can understand that. As a horse person, that does happen. I think with the regulations that are in town today and with proper monitoring, a lot of those go away with the fly spray systems we have, with the constant manure removal. The days of having a manure pit outside of your door are far and few between. So I would ask that, you know, as me, a younger Aiken resident, just starting my way here, I'm 35 years old, that in having a proper area for horses. Obviously, it's had horses there 100 years ago. It wasn't inhumane. That you would look at if the paddocks are organized correctly, if you are able to have the proper fly spray systems, the proper regulations in place, I think it adds to your property value versus decreasing.
Ms. Sertek, just for the record, would you read into the record your address, please?
Yes, I'm at 245 Newberry Street.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the variance?
Good evening. My name is Dennis Freeland. I am a property owner at 906 Colleton, so we're a couple of blocks away from this particular property in question.
Near what cross street?
Colleton and Williamsburg. I'd like to say that I think the discussion here tonight has really kind of digressed into areas that probably have really very little bearing on what the owners are looking for here. You know, we've heard a lot of talk about, you know, algae-covered swimming pools and broken fences and tall weeds and on and on and on. And at the end of the day, this is really about the desire of a homeowner to return a property to the way it was intended to be used. And that's exactly what this property was. This is probably one of the older homes in Aiken. Aiken expends unlimited resources and time to promote the community as historical, as equestrian friendly. To deny this application is a step in the wrong direction. On one hand, we're trying to promote the equestrian lifestyle. You're trying to promote the rich history of this city, which it does have. It's very unique. I've only lived here a couple of years, but the reason I came here was the very reason that, you know, is that we were looking for. We're looking for this type of place. For you folks to vote against this, I think, is a step in the wrong direction. And I would urge you to please consider it favorably. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from Mr. Spraley? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the variance? Thank you.
evening. My name is Judith Cato, and I live at 622 Magnolia Street Southeast, which is on the dirt road in the historic district. And I believe that I take exception to the idea that having horses will devalue property values. I don't think there is one property in the horse district that is under $1 million, and actually probably far greater than that. I am surrounded by horses and manure, and I can assure you that anyone that's going to invest that kind of money is not going to find it acceptable to live with flies and rats and rodents. I have none of that and never have. And I think that particularly this year, I've never seen such an influx of visitors coming to this town because they want to be here where the horses are. So I just take exception to the idea that it will devalue a property by adding horses. Thank you.
Any question, please. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You live in the horse district?
622 Magnolia, okay. Right on the dirt road between Mead and Grace.
So the property surrounding you is zoned HD or RSS?
I believe HD. I'm just surrounded by horses.
It's zoned HD or RSS.
Okay.
Which is specific for horse use, either commercial or recreational.
All right.
Okay.
However, I do suggest that it is obviously of great value. Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the variance?
Hello, my name is Nicholas Devorian, and I live on 319 South Chimney Lane. I don't live here, but oftentimes during the year, I try to make time to come up and visit my grandmother. And I have a lot of memories surrounding, you know, her house and her property, and a lot of those memories don't have the smell of horse waste in them. And I would like to keep it that way, but it's just, I think it has to be taken into consideration that the houses that would not lose value are also in a horse district, where it's commonplace to have horse smells and everything that accompanies it and the like.
Questions? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the variance? Final call. Others to speak to the special exception or the variance? I was going to call you for your rebuttal.
Oh, okay. Well, is there anyone else in the
room? No,
we're fair and balanced.
Thank you, and I promise to make this very brief. I understand the emotions. I understand the history. I understand the neighborhoods of where you grew up. I'm sensitive to all of those things. But when you look at the black and white of what is supposed to be the nuisance, or the smell, or the horses, the city of Aiken has ordinances in place that protects the properties that have these large animals. We've had people testify that have horses here in town that live in the horse district. I live in the horse district, the Marion Drive. The smell, this isn't 1980. They're fly systems. You actually give horses medication to kill the fly larvae. The manure has to be moved out twice a week. The shavings now have deodorizers in them. This is not the old 1970 manure pit in the backyard. These rules are in place for a reason, and they work. This property certainly can support two horses. There is no precedence being set by this. There is no such thing as a precedence when you grant these things. So there is no slippery slope. There is no nuisance because the city of Aiken has the rules in place to take care of those. Thank you very much for your consideration. I hope that is at the forefront when you make this decision. Thank you.
Before you leave, questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Pat.
You certainly seem fluent in relations and things, and I thank you for all the information. I'm just curious about one thing. When the present owners bought the property, they were aware of the zoning restrictions. They were aware of the closeness of the neighbors. At any time, did you or they contact any of the neighbors, especially Mr. Baldwin or the Bodenheimers, regarding their plans for the property, bringing horses on, changing the walls, things like that?
Yes, and they were all very clear that they had no interest in seeing horses back on the property. But in their thoughts, and honestly, myself as a horseman and an Aiken resident, it's part of the greater good. Everything that they've talked about here tonight in a negative way only has to do with the nuisance issue of an animal. That's a moot point. If you take that out of the scenario, there was nothing that they put forth today that would disallow the use of the horses on that property. So it's an historic barn. It's a beautiful property, and they wanted to put it back to its intended use. Obviously, they knew when they bought it that this was a process, and they hesitated to even put forth in this process. Actually, I've encouraged them to move forward with this because I have a heartfelt belief that that property, it's a beautiful barn. I grew up in barns. My family grew up in barns. I have a passion for keeping things the way they were. This is a decision you guys have to make. They knew that it didn't have horses when they bought it, but that's why we have rules and the opportunity to step forward and ask for special permission in exceptional circumstances on an exceptional piece of property.
Well, you do live in the horse district, and obviously there's far more space to keep horses. But I congratulate you and them. It's unfortunate that the neighbors are not supportive, but I congratulate you and the owners for at least going through the effort of communicating with them before you initiated this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
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 We've never been contacted by this fellow or the neighbors about this application whatsoever, for the record. Okay, so I don't know where he's coming from.
Thank you.
All right.
Question?
I was contacted by the Bodenheimers after the application was in place. I know that the owners had conversations prior to the application. I was told when we did the application that their positions were known and stated, and it really wasn't going to do any good to communicate because their mind was already made up. So we made the application. I didn't go knock on anybody's door. Obviously, there was no changing their minds, and that was why we moved forward with the public notice and the application.
Just said he did. Mm-hmm. Oh, you. I was never contacted. I've never seen Mr. McMillan before or talked with him. My daughter did call him after the application was made, not before, but we have not been contacted.
We're trying not to get into a who said, who said. You have a question? Yes.
Mr. McMillan or the owners contacted my mother, my family. When we got the notification in the mail, I talked to Tommy Paradise and told him as a neighbor, I would like to talk to the owners or their agent about the situation because there was a genuine problem and we wanted to have a conversation as a neighbor with him. I called Mr. McMillan and he said that he had not talked to us because Mr. Paradise had told him there was no need, that the information would be sent out anyway. But he did not contact us. I told him at the end of the conversation that while I did not agree with what I'd heard so far, I would listen to everything he sent to me or told me with an open mind. And I got an email, a text back saying we talked about the subdivision plan that he had, that there was not a plan after all to subdivide. And that was the last I heard, but he did not contact us. I contacted him for our family. Never seen the owners, never heard from the owners.
That's why we sent out notices to contiguous property owners about the request, the application that we have received. I saw two other hands for questions, comments, quick comments.
I guess I'm
not seeing. And I'll do a final call for people, anyone to speak to either the special exception or the variance. Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can end up here to a discussion.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman. I, for one, and I'm sure I speak for other members of the board, will defend vigorously the presence of horses in Aiken, particularly on lots that are zoned for horses. I think it's a special circumstance. We've had a number of cases where applications are made for horses in residential areas. And there, I think the criteria must be considered with great care. I think it's the application may marginally meet a number of the criteria. In my mind, the clear consideration is whether it meets criteria number four, and that's compatible with existing uses and adjacent to and near properties. For that reason, I make a motion to deny the application.
Bud, you second? It has been properly moved and seconded that the application for this special exception be denied. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think that 28 years ago, an ordinance was passed and a compromise was made. And in that time, there wasn't any public outcry for lack of horses in that neighborhood. I think this everyone should be entitled to the protection of the ordinance. And whether it's horse manure or little green men, the perception is that everyone should be able to go to bed at night knowing that their property values and rest peacefully in their homes and knowing that their property values are secure. I think Mr. Baldwin made a good point that the neighborhood has long moved on from having horses, and that is a reason why I'm going to vote the way I do. Thank you.
To Board Member Patanetti's initial comment, I think the owners of the property, Mr. McMillan, as an agent, should be commended for trying to, and I think we're all on board with this, trying to preserve some of these historic Aiken properties. The issue, unfortunately, is the 11 criteria to make that happen. We're trying to do it in a residentially zoned area. It's just, you know, the tie, if there even is a tie, has got to go to the homeowners there who, by my count, there are 11 immediately adjacent neighbors to this property who are opposed to the vision of restoring this to a horse property in a area that's not by right zoned for horses. So unfortunately for me, that is the that's the tiebreaker I'm employing as you look at all 11 exemptions that the applicant must pass without without question, and it's just hard to do it with what I heard.
Mr. Chairman, I think criteria number four is the one that's the killer for this, because when people move into a property, if their existing horse is there, then they know that they are there. And so it's, they make that ruling that I want to live near horses. And that when there's property and there are no horses and you move in and then you want to change it, I think that criteria number four, it's going to adversely affect the neighborhood.
Mr. Chair, as one who seconded past motion, I too have had an issue with trying to meet, in my mind, all or each one of the 11 criteria outlined in the criteria that we have to go by, and that's outlined in state law. I, for one, have grown up in this town, been part of the horse district all my life, and then some. So, trust me, horses are very sensitive and been part of my life and my family's well-being for many, many years. But I agree with my colleagues that is this compatible with the existing uses adjacent to and near the property? And I can't see where it is. Thus, my feeling of not having to support this variance and the special exception.
We have been talking about specifically the 11 criteria that we are to make a ruling on, and we've been talking about criteria number four. I also see a problem with criteria number six, which talked about the odors, smells, things that would adversely affect the neighborhood. And there was one other thing that bothered me in the staff report. The project description talked about two horses. As I read further in the staff report, I saw three horses. And so where did the third horse come from? And then I looked at Mr. McMillan's letter, your response, you talked about three horses.
The reason it was modified is because we put the third horse for the dog on the Horry Street lot, and it was going to require another...
I'm referring to your December 22nd letter, 2015. It talked about three horses. It didn't go into the third piece of property.
That was before the extension and the...
Sir, I am not arguing with you. I'm simply stating what I have received in the fact sheets.
Okay. It was changed, so I apologize for the typo in the letter. It's not getting
any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raising of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. The chair entertain a motion on the variance.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to deny application 16-93007 for the same reason, and it's even more obvious because in this case the facility for horses on this subject property would be closer than two existing residential recreational structures, so it doesn't meet criteria number four.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
No. Third second. It's been properly moved and second that we deny the variance application. Do we have any discussion? Seeing here and none, those in favor of the motion show by raising their right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. With that, I call for a 10-minute recess.